What's going on, West Liberty? This is Hunter with WGLZ, and you are listening to 91.5 FM. We are a college radio that is passionately vocal. I'm here today for my fourth and final interview for the series Passionately Vocal. Today's segment is called Distinctive Discussion, and I am joined by a very special guest, Teresa Russell. Teresa is the head of dispatching for Ohio County and has been doing this job since 1989. Thank you so much for joining me today, Teresa. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, not a problem. I'm also great. Let's jump into some questions. So, starting out, as I mentioned, you've been at the center since 1989. Can you tell me a bit how the technology has changed and how it's advanced since then?
Oh my goodness. We started out just dispatching actually three entities, which was Ohio County Fire, who has seven volunteer fire departments, the City of Wheeling Fire Department, and Wheeling Police Department. We had two positions, and everything was done on paper with pencil. We had four 911 lines at the time, which have turned into eight and have extended actually beyond that with the advent of all of the wireless technology. We can roll those eight calls into eight additional lines, so we can take up to 16 at a time if necessary.
Wow. How has the center itself changed since then? Like, were there always phones and stuff, or is there a different...
The actual phone system when I started there was a 4x4 screen in front of us with the four 911 lines that were actually push button at the time. Since then, we have moved on to an entire telephony computerized phone system, which also brings in the wireless calls as far as the tower sites that the phone had hit. And now we get the caller's name and telephone number with that.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yes.
I'm curious, when someone starts out with this job, what kind of training do they go through?
When you begin this position, a lot of it is on the job training, and it takes about 3 months to really get through that. They are with a senior dispatcher or a training officer. They start out on the fire side because it's actually the most structured part of what we do. They move on to the law enforcement side, being the sheriff's department, who also operates with six municipal police departments and the state police. And then they go from there to Wheeling Police, who actually, they hold the most calls per year. They run well over 25,000, so it's a bit more hectic and busier.
Okay. And within those, like, trainings, are you taught to use, like, a little bit of a goofy question, but are you taught to use, like, a certain voice or tone?
Or? We try to instruct them on ways to speak over the radio, per se. And it's kind of funny because we had one dispatcher who was actually very monotone, and it completely drove officers crazy because they said, we can't get that voice inflection, and we can't tell if it's really bad.
Right.
But that's a difficult thing to teach, but it's something that they do acquire over a period of time.
Okay. So what, 911 dispatching is a 24-hour service, so what kind of hours can you expect to regularly work?
A lot of the centers are still on 8-hour shifts, and they rotate from day to afternoon to midnight. We have found that it was more beneficial for us to work 12-hour shifts. We have four shifts. We have four dispatchers per shift. They work 3 days on, 4 days off, 4 days on, 3 days off, and they do, with each transfer, they either go from day to midnight. Every 21 days, they have a seven-day stretch. So they're off for 7 days, so it's like getting a week off once a month.
Oh, that's nice. What are some strategies that are taught or that you have personally used that allow you to quickly think and assess the situation?
A lot of that is the training that comes into play. You learn the ins and outs of law enforcement, fire service, EMS. So all of those things play a part in how you respond to everything that you do.
Do you learn actual laws themselves through training? Like, do you get familiar with all the laws? And
the one thing that a 911 operator never does is gives out any type of legal advice over the phone. So the way we handle everything is if it comes in, it goes back out.
Okay. Interesting. The actual relationship between dispatchers and the first responders, what is that like? Are you guys close?
We don't really see anyone because we're kind of quarantined off against our law enforcement officers, but we get to know everyone. We talk to them on the phone just about every day.
Right.
We interact with them in other ways as well. I myself meet with the volunteer fire chiefs once a month. So we go over any issues that might come up or changes that are being made. So they do meet one another from time to time. We do ride-alongs as part of our training. So when a new dispatcher comes in, we set them up with a ride-along with the fire departments. They go out and they see the locale of each department, what equipment is stationed there. So we do, over a period of time, get to know the people that we interact with.
Okay. I was always curious how the relationship was, because, like you said, you're always talking on the phone, but not necessarily have that face-to-face connection.
Right, right.
Interesting. That actually concludes our first half of this distinctive discussion interview. We will be taking a brief intermission and then returning to discuss a little bit about some more in-depth details Teresa has experienced. This has been Hunter, and you're listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM. You are listening to WGLZ, student radio that is passionately vocal. This is West Liberty's top-tier radio station on 91.5 FM. What's going on, West Liberty? This is Hunter, and you are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio that is passionately vocal. We just concluded our first half of the distinctive discussion interview for the series, Passionately Vocal. In the first half, Mrs. Teresa Russell explained a bit about the job of being a 911 dispatcher, and we are now going to dive back in and discuss it in some more depth. So hopping back into the interview, I'm curious as to what is the most common type of call that you receive?
The most common type of call and what's on the rise today is the emergency calls, EMS calls. And I think that a lot of that is specifically because we have such an aging population.
Interesting. Going back a few years ago, I'm curious how the call center had to adjust to the effects of COVID-19.
COVID was a very interesting year and a very challenging year. Because of the way that COVID changed pretty much on a weekly basis, we had to adjust the way that we did business. For instance, a lot of our non-emergency calls that didn't require somebody to be on scene were taken over the telephone, and it was relayed to emergency responders who simply called the complainant by phone, and a lot of that dealt mainly with law enforcement. Of course, our EMS calls that year increased substantially.
I can imagine.
Because of the illness. We had to question everybody that had called in as to whether or not they had COVID or came into contact with somebody who had, whether or not they had traveled out of state or out of country. And we also were the only center that year, because no one was traveling, we were installing a brand new computer-aided dispatch system. So we actually had to learn it virtually. There was none of that warm, fuzzy, hands-on feeling like vendors do originally. So that was a bit of a challenge, but it was very interesting, and it worked out very well for us.
Well, I'm glad it worked out. That definitely sounds a little challenging, but if it all worked out, that's great. So more serious question. Obviously, this job, not easy. So I'm curious how you deal with the mental toll that it may have on you.
We spend a lot of time when something traumatic takes place. The dispatchers and myself, we talk about it amongst ourselves and try to rationalize. We've also been included in debriefings with law enforcement and fire and EMS. We have also discovered that there is a chapter that deals with PTSD in the state of West Virginia, and they are called Armor Up West Virginia. They have been extremely helpful to us.
That's great.
We had a police officer that had taken his own life, which was a little difficult because the dispatchers knew who it was, and they actually traveled from the bottom of the state up here to meet with us and help us through that. So we've learned ways to deal with things that are more productive.
That's good that you have some sort of support system to be there for you guys.
Yes.
I can't imagine. So going back to the actual technology, let's say someone calls in and they're unsure of where they're at. Are you able to track them just from their call?
We are better able today than when I first started there. The way that cell phones have changed and the way that the technology has changed for 911, we have a system called Rapid SOS. So it interfaces with our computer-aided dispatch program. When somebody calls in from a wireless phone, as soon as it hits that tower, it will open up on this Rapid SOS system, and it will pretty much pinpoint exactly where that caller is calling from. So we'll be able to look at a map and determine where they are.
Interesting. I know in TV shows, I always see people talking about, stay on the phone for this amount of time so we can track you. Is it like a more instant thing in real life?
It's more instantaneous than what it used to be. But the difficult aspect of 911 is that cell phones are always five steps ahead of the technology that's available for us. So we're always trying to keep up, which is sometimes a difficult and very costly measure to take.
I can imagine. How would you deal with that kind of call before the technology got so advanced?
Before the technology, we could only hope that the caller could stay on the line with us and we could obtain that information. And sometimes people just don't know where they are. So you have to question them. What do you see around you? Where were you coming from? What was your destination going to be? So you just have to ask a lot of questions until you can figure out where these callers may be.
That definitely makes sense. I'm also curious, what kind of, obviously there's firefighting, police officers, excuse me, and ambulance and those kind of first responders, but I'm curious, what other departments do you actually work with?
We work a lot in the wintertime with the Department of Highways because of the snow and the ice on the roads, and trying to keep things open as quickly as anyone possibly can. We work with emergency management quite a bit. And as a matter of fact, they're located in the same office that we are, just a couple of doors over from us.
Okay. That's interesting. I was always curious if there were more departments than just the main three that everyone would think of.
There are a lot of components when it comes to the 911 system, AEP, the water department, operations for the city.
Very interesting. Before wrapping up this interview, I just want to thank you for all that you do. There's no way that this job is easy, and I know not everyone could do it, but you have provided so many people so much help for a long time, and it's really admirable. Your work does not go unnoticed, and it is greatly appreciated by the community. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Of course. But that concludes our interview for today. Thank you so much for coming out, and like I said, for everything else you do. Again, this is my fourth interview for the series Passionately Vocal called Distinctive Discussion. This has been Hunter with WGLZ 91.5 FM. Let's get back to the regularly scheduled program.